Now, measuring service quality has some more parameters like reliability, responsiveness, assurance, empathy, and tangibles, which few of them have been already discussed as a part of dimensions of service quality. Reliability, which is consistency of performance. Responsiveness, the willingness or readiness of employees to provide services. Assurance is the knowledge, competence, and courtesy of services employees and their ability to convey trust and confidence. So, assurance is another important parameter in the service domain, because because services are intangible. So when you see the service provider's marketing guy or the sales guy or frontline guy, probably you judge his knowledge, you judge his competency, you judge his courtesy levels, and then you say that okay, probably I can go with this because probably there's a lot of trust which is getting generated out of meeting this guy. Empathy is another important area where you feel that everybody likes to be taken care of, and individual attention has to be provided to the customer. So when those things are happening with you, probably you feel that this service provider gives me enough of attention, and he takes care of me in a nice way. So can I really go with this service provider? Tangible, I have already shared with you, like hospital environment or the station environment or platforms and all that, where you see, or some of the quality displays or quality policy displays in the organizations can be part of this physical evidences, or the uniqueness in terms of dress code or some other parameters can define the tangibles from the service quality point of view. Now the important model, which is the service quality model and known as Servicule model, wherein we will see that how this model has been designed and how this model actually helps you to identify service gaps. I am sure if you really focus on this model and if you understand this model, you will be in a better position to understand one, quality, second, service quality, and third, you will be in a position to understand why these service quality gaps occur. Because everybody wants to deliver best of the services, customers are looking for best of the services, then why these gaps are coming and where these gaps are coming in from. So once you know that, probably this model will be of great help. So it actually compares customers' expectations with their experience of the service that was actually delivered. So there is a comparison between the expectation and perception, and then discrepancies are gaps in the service quality. So there can be a lot of discrepancies, there can be gaps, especially there could be, when I say gaps, it could be a mismatch, it could be an invisible or intangible gap which is not seen, it is not visible directly, but there is a gap. So there are different types of gap, and this diagram will help you probably understand little more better that how this gaps come in. So we start with this gap 1. So gap 1 talks about the expectation perception gap, where we say that what is this gap all about and how do I understand that from where these gaps arises. So we'll talk about these gaps in more details. Second gap is all about this management perception gap, where we say that okay, how this gap is occurring and why this gap is occurring. This gap 1 is largely the customer's gap or the customer gap, because it is linked with more to do with the customer and his expectation. The gap number 2 is linked more with the management and how management perceives the customer. So based on the management's view of customer, probably this gap is created. Third is the service quality specification gap, which is again from the provider's point of view, and how this design or how the quality specifications have been designed and laid off, and why they have been laid off, and how are they still in line with the requirement of the customer. Fourth gap is basically, this is in line with the customer. Now it is, you are actually interacting with the customer, and this gap can be created there, because whatever service quality specifications you have defined or designed, are you really delivering your services? And gap 5 is, if any of the gap exists, then gap 5 also exists, because it is largely to do with the finally expected service levels in the system. So we'll just try to get into a little more detail about this Servicule model. And this is very interesting to, this model is very interesting, and probably a lot of learning comes out of this model. So when I say gaps in services quality, I say first is the consumer expectation management perception gap. So this is the service feature offered don't meet customer need. So there is a service feature. The problem could be there is a service feature, but it doesn't meet customer's need. This gap ideally comes out of lack of research. So you feel that you know the customer, you feel that you know the needs of the customer, you know the you feel that you understand the behavior of the customer, but all this information could be inadequate, it could be insufficient for you to make a decision. And lack of marketing research, inadequate upward communication, too many levels in the organizations, and probably between the contact and the personnel and the management. So a lot of gaps, and all these gaps could be some of the important reasons for the first gap called consumer expectation management perception gap. Second is the management perception gap or the service quality specification gap. This gap is between these two, wherein management, the service specifications are defined to, they have been defined, but they do not meet management perceptions of customer's expectation. So management perceives that they understand the customer. Management thinks that they understand the customer, but it may not be true. So it could be basically based on the resource constraint and management indifference, or it could be also poor service design. So if management is not in a position to pay an ear to the customer's need or requirement, and if the management continues to feel that they know their customers better and probably whatever design is there for services is fine, probably this gap could be there. Third is the service quality specification or the service delivery gap. This gap lies there in the diagram. So specifications for services meet customers' need. They meet customers' need, but service delivery is not in line with the customer specification. So because service is not about only designing the specification, it is all about delivery. So someone has to deliver also. So employee's performance is not standardized, or customer's perceptions are not uniform. So when this gap arises, out of customers and performance of the employee and the customer's perception, probably we say this is a gap, especially the service quality specification between and the service delivery system. Fourth gap is service delivery and external communication. Now the services does not meet customer's expectation, which have been influenced by external communication. Like when you in one of your advertisement, probably you have said that we do all that, but in the reality you don't do all that. So probably your external communications could be high, but in reality probably you don't deliver all that. So marketing message is not consistent with actual services. So probably your advertisements are not in line with your actual deliveries. Probably you are saying that I'll deliver you services in say 24 hours, but you don't deliver that service. So customer feels that you marketed too much and you don't deliver things. So these gaps are also there, and these are very important gap, because customer sets his expectation based on the marketing communication which he has received, but unfortunately he doesn't receive the services, and that is where the pain point comes in, and that is that these gaps are very crucial gap. Last is the expected service or the perceived service gap. Now customer has a judgment of high low quality based on his expectation versus actual services. So once he sets into the system, or say example, best example could be say I buy something from Amazon or Flipkart, and probably they say that I'm going to deliver you something in 24 hours. Now I have set my expectation that Amazon is going to deliver me something in 24 hours and the product is going to be great. Now this expectation is set, but I don't receive the actual services, means I don't receive the product, example, within 24 hours, and the product which comes is say probably not a great product. So function of this is occurring largely because of function of the magnitude and the direction of the gap between expected services and perceived services. See, this terms, expected, perceived and all make things little dicey and probably complex for a user. But we need to understand that there is something called expected services based on, because you have seen the product or you have seen the brand and you feel that this is the level which I can expect out of this service system. And probably if I expect all this, I am sure this brand is going to deliver me. But if that delivery doesn't happen, then you say this perception of my experience or the experience which I had from this service provider is not great. So these are some of the gaps, and we will also see in detail about the causes of this gap. So gap one largely comes out of lack of adequate market research, lack of upward communication between frontline staff and management. It could be also because of lack of interaction with the customers. So you do not interact with the customer and you feel that you know everything about the customer, and therefore that gap can be there. Lack of segmentation to identify the needs of the customer. So you have segmented your way and you feel that you have done enough of study, but that study may not be enough. So these are some of the important causes for gap number one. Similarly, some of the reasons for the development of gap two is badly designed services. So services are not designed as per the needs of the customer. It could be lack of commitment from management. It could be lack of standards defined from the aspect of customers. It could also be lack of formalized processes needed for installation of adequate goal settings. It could be inadequate service ambience and physical elements. Failure to develop perceptible value in accordance with the customer's expectations. So it could be because of any of these reasons, and these reasons are prominent. Any failure or any gap arising out of this setting of the expectation, commitment and formalization of the processes can lead to gap number two. Some of the causes for gap three is oversight in human resource management. When you say that all my people are great and we have human as an asset, but if they don't deliver, it leads to ineffective recruitment. Poor cooperation of customers, problems with servicing agents, badly harmonized offer and demand, lack of understanding of customer habit, role ambiguity, lack of training, incentive to perform to staff, lack of pre-testing when new procedures are introduced. We have discussed about the different causes, in gap number 1, 2, 3. Now we are going to discuss the causes for the gap number 4, which is largely to do with the communication, the external communication which happens to the customer. So this could be purely based on the lack of integrated services marketing communication. Because if the communication is not effective or if it is exaggerated, probably customer may not be very happy because he has received some communication but the delivery is not happening as per what was communicated to the customer. It could be also ineffective communication. Probably your intentions could be right and you have communicated everything right, but probably the way customer has taken it or probably the way he has received the communication may not be very effective. So that could be another way of looking at it. Next is inefficient management of customer's expectation or unreasonable promises. If you have some unreasonable promises which are difficult to fulfill, then you are at a difficult situation to handle and probably customer may not like it. Inadequate horizontal communication. Now, when you are actually communicating to the customer, you also have to pass on that same communication to the internal team. Probably you will have to also communicate it to everybody in the system so that everybody who is going to handle the customer should be aware of this communication. But sometimes this doesn't happen and therefore this gap can be there. So these are some of the important areas where we see that this leads to gap number 4, which is more to do with the customer. And as I have shared with you that when we talk about any of these gaps or any of these causes of these gaps, gap number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, gap number 5 would be there because this is purely dealing with the customer's expectation and perception gap. So if he feels that he has set an expectation out of this services delivery mechanism or from this organization, and if that service is not getting fulfilled, then he sees this as a gap. Now I would like to share with you some of the determinants of service quality. And now you can, some of them have already been discussed and have been elaborated in the previous slides also. But from the customer's perspective, these can be some of the parameters which one has to take care while defining the services and the quality part of it. So reliability is one thing which is important. Responsiveness, competence of the people, access of the service system, courtesy and communication. These are very, very important. Some of the other important parameters could be credibility, security, understanding or knowing the customer, and the tangible part of it, because customer sees something which is very tangible to him, and then probably he makes his decision. Because these are some of the things which are probably he sees and he believes. So you have to have your tangibles in place to make the customer realize that you are actually going to deliver something which is very high quality, or probably what is right quality, I would say, instead of high quality. So let the customer feel that you are a part of a right quality delivery mechanism system. So tangibles are going to deliver you all that. As a part of service quality design, we have been talking about a term called POKAYOKE enough in the production and operations domain, and we also talk about it when we talk about making things foolproof. Like there can we can be really avoid mistakes. When you talk about service quality or the service design, probably there is a need for bringing in this concept. This was conceived by Shigeo Shingo, people also called him as Mr. Improvement, who believed that if we have service quality or the design part of it which is foolproof, then the chances of you making mistake or the chances of customer making a mistake or the service provider making a mistake can be less, or it can be reduced. For you to understand is what is Poka-Yoke is, suppose if you probably you open up your mobile and you remove the battery, try to insert the battery into your mobile again, and without really looking into the battery, you will see that you cannot insert the battery into your mobile in a wrong way. So it will go in only in the right way. Similarly, if you wish to insert your SIM into your mobile, the SIM cannot go into a wrong way. So it will always, the design is such that SIM will always go into your mobile, or it can be inserted into the slot, SIM slot, only in the right way. So similarly, if you have to have service mechanisms or service design or service errors getting reduced, you will have to design the services so that you can prevent inevitable mistakes from turning into defects. So it is example is repeating back orders at Starbucks before giving you a cup of coffee. So when you place an order in a restaurant, it is very safe to repeat the order, so that people should not say that you have ordered for fork and you give him spoon as the fork, or something else. So like when you talk about people have different connotations or people have different understanding for certain words. So if you really clarify all these things before you actually deliver, then probably you ensure that you are not making mistakes, or probably you are trying to be right with the customer and you are actually with the customer. So customers like it, and they also feel that the adequate attention has been given to them, and they appreciate that. Quality is profit or cost. So we'll see here that because some of the older versions in some of the older organizations earlier, it was always seen that whenever you wish to deliver quality, it becomes a cost burden of the organization. So let us see whether it is a really profit or a cost. It is both. If you do not have enough of things in place, probably it turns out into a cost. But if you have all the things in place and if you still focus on the quality, probably it delivers you, or it yields a lot of profit out of the investments. So improving quality does require a company to incur cost. There could be initial investment in terms of designing the systems, making the systems, or if you really say in simple language, you have to be prepared to deliver. So preparations could be the cost part of it. But return on quality is important, and return on quality in terms of profits is important. And it has been experienced by many, many organizations that if they have delivered quality, if they have invested in good quality, customer is or by and large willing to pay for the quality. Like today, when roads are designed, and if you have a super express highway or an expressway, customers are willing to pay shell off some money towards toll, because they feel that the quality of the roads are good and they wish to experience good travel. So customers will pay, provided there is enough of quality, there is enough of experience with them, and they feel that it is worth paying. So it could be with the improved when you talk about say service performance, service performance will improve with the cost. So one has to invest, because a customer will continue to see that my customer satisfaction is improving. It could be either in the terms of performance, it could be in terms of satisfaction, it could be in terms of customer retention, it could be also a part of the market share. You can increase your market share by investing into quality, and then probably it could finally get into the increased profitability. So it starts with service performance. So your service performance has to be good. Then if performance is good, probably you get customer satisfaction or satisfied customer. Once the customer is satisfied, it is easy for you to retain the customer. Once you start retaining your customers, your market share increases. If your market share increases, probably your profitability may also increase. So this is how the cycle works on. Now we are going to discuss something on calculating return of quality or return on quality. So we need to these are few of the steps which we thought that probably this could help you understand that how do you actually see that you are actually making some money out of investment into quality. So one has to first start with the simple process of determining the customer needs from these services. So what is that customer is actually looking forward for? I think I have given you example that when you talk about say using a cab, why are you actually using a cab? So one could say that I'm looking for convenience. Some would say that I'm looking for comfort. Third is saying that this cab is going to drop me till my residence, so I don't have to use any public transport or a place where then I have to walk to my house and all that. So different customers can have, but if you really see the insight of it is probably customer is looking for can I really have peace of mind. So determine first that what is that customer is actually looking for in that service when he is consuming. Like suppose you are waiting at the airport and you enter into one of the coffee shop, suppose say Costa Coffee. So when you are there, are you really there because you want to have coffee, or you want to spend time, or you want to while away the time because you have some more time before the plane comes in? So you will have to see that why that customer. So design of the environment or determining the customer need is the most important parameter when you talk about designing or calculating the return on quality. Second is relate customer needs to internal businesses processes. You will have to relate now, once the need is identified, you will have to see that can you relate this to your internal business processes. Because if that linkage is not proper, means the service provider will never know the intention of the customer. So we are saying understand the intent of the customer and then align your processes to meet the intention of the customer or meet the intent of the customer. Then collect data on customer satisfaction with business processes. So third step is identify whether the customer is really satisfied or no with regards to your business processes. Fourth is relate customer satisfaction with various processes and customer retention. So as a part of customer satisfaction process, you would have had different processes to ensure that customer is getting satisfied. So what are the processes which have really helped the customer to be satisfied, and what are the processes which have actually retained the customer in the system? If some of the processes have not retained the customer, then probably you can see that there is a quality gap, or customer may not have enough of time. Now you will also have to ensure that what is the kind of customer you are talking about, because especially when we see airport customers or customers on the railway station, probably they may be your lifetime customer, they may not be your lifetime customer. You may not have any other opportunity to make money out of that customer, so you never know about it. But he can still spread word of mouth if he moves in some other location so all that is there. So fourth parameter is relate customer satisfaction with various process and customer retention. Fifth is determine the shift in customer satisfaction with a firm or a business process resulting from quality improvement effort. So if there are improvement effort, if there are continuous improvement effort, means in the fourth step I said that if there is a quality gap, then identify that gap and work on that gap and improve the quality. And see that if this gap is fulfilled, or if this there is an improvement in the quality, is there a shift in the customer satisfaction? Suppose customer was satisfied or customer satisfaction level was 80%. So can we say that now the customer satisfaction level is 90% or 95% after improving the service quality? So we'll have to continuously check. Then we'll have to estimate the customer retention rate. What is the rate of customer retention after quality improvement efforts? Also estimate the market share impacts corresponding to the new retention rate. So if you are improving your quality, your customer retention rate may increase. If your customer retention rate may increase, your market share will automatically increase. If your market share is going to increase, probably you have likely possibility of driving the price. So determining the profit impact resulting from the change in market share plus any cost saving minus the cost of quality improvement effort. So all this put together will give you the return on quality. I'm sure you have understood, and if you have any issues, probably you can email us back and probably we'll help you. Why we have discussed, or why are we discussing all this, is because we are not saying that you just talk about quality. You also has to ensure that what is that you get out of quality, what is that or how can you actually say that this is cost to my quality, or how can you say that what is the profit which I actually derive out of investment into quality. Other quality related sources of profit could be cost reduction due to increased efficiency. So the other parameters, you know, as I have shared with you, that increase your value, it could be by increasing your efficiency, by reducing the cost. So you increase your value by reducing the cost, but how do you reduce cost? By increasing the efficiency. But here a word of caution is there, that overdoing on efficiency can be a point, can be a problematic issue. So one has to be careful when talk about efficiency, because efficiency is linked here in the service domain with the customer. So you will have to work with the speed of the customer. Means you cannot keep on serving the customer something with great efficiencies, no, before the customer has already finished what he was supposed to finish. So if he's not through with this, then don't increase your efficiency, because your efficiency is of no use, no, because your efficiencies have to actually match with customer's need. That is important. Attraction of new customers resulting from positive word of mouth. So this is where I said that, no, customers are going to spread word of mouth publicity for you based on their experience, and if their experiences are positive, they will definitely know, and if negative, they will be doing more. So you have to be careful there. The ability to charge high prices. Now the ability to charge high prices comes out of all the parameters which we have discussed earlier, in terms of your reliability, in terms of security, convenience, peace, responsiveness, empathy, accuracy, access, competency, all those parameters put together, plus your brand value, plus your market share, this can help you charge higher prices and increase your profitability. So this is how service domain works. Some of the other factors influencing service quality could be adaptability to different forms and types of services, flexibility concerning permanent changes in the perception of the customer. So you need to be you need to have flexibility, because there can be changes, and this perception and change in the customer's mood, customer's age, customer's income, a lot of parameters are there. So we need to be flexible enough with regards to the change in customer's perception. Suggestions for improvement on this service quality level, there can be continuous suggestions from the customer, and we need to be working on them to improve service quality. Enabling the development of methods for measuring customer satisfaction. So though it is said that measuring service quality is difficult, but there is a need to enable the systems to help develop methods for measuring customer satisfaction. Diagnosing the needs for training and education of employees. This is important element, because if you wish to create service value chains, which probably we'll discuss, so if you wish to increase all this, then it is very important that we have to do something into developing of training needs for the employees, because it is said that only happy customers trained employees, or happy employees can make customers happy. So one has to get into all that, and we need to be in a position to really diagnose the training needs. Unless or until those training needs are identified, you actually cannot train the employee. So efforts have to be made there. Flexibility concerning modification depending on the changes in the surrounding conditions. Then emphasis placed upon the improvement of quality aimed at all levels of organization. So quality cannot be improved only at frontline or at the top. It has to be improved. Means when we say total quality management, we are saying that let us improve quality at all the levels. So if all the levels are taken care of in terms of quality management, then you can be rest assured that you deliver quality to the customer, right? Similarly, identification of future needs in terms of infrastructure, resources, capacities, and assistance to the management in planning process. This is another one of the factors which can help you in service quality. Adaptability to grow, use of information technology in the service sector. Now, this is something which is so becoming important, especially the technology part of it. Organizations, we had a discussion today with one of the automobile organizations, and it was said that they have two plants. One is the one plant is a new plant which is driven by technology, and one plant is an old plant which is not driven by technology, but it is an old pattern of the plant, old type of plant. So today the top management is under dilemma that they should invest where. So one is you invest on the technology more with the new plant and you make more profits. Now the older plant is still on, and it is delivering you profit, but it is, those profits are little lesser than the profits which you get out of the plant number one, plant number two, which is the technology driven plant. So either you have to make your plant number one, which is the old plant, now you have to invest into technology and say that now these two plants are compatible. But there is always a risk there, and companies have a habit of avoiding risk, and they say that can we make few changes there and still carry on with the old technology so that we don't have to invest large money. Because there is always, with the technology, one thing is there in terms of risk is technology keeps on changing very fast, and when the pace of change of technology is so fast that if organizations have to be there in the race of a leader, then they will have to be running very fast with the change of time and change of technology. So these are some of the factors I thought will be of some help to you, and you need to focus there where that improvement can be done, or adaptation of technology can be there, so that you are at par with the industry, or you are you have an edge over others in terms of making profit. Now, need for service quality models. We have already discussed one of the service quality model called Servicule model. Now the question comes is, was there a real need for discussing that model? But there are a few more models, and therefore we thought that service quality has a strong impact on business performance. So this is very clear and obvious that service quality has a very, very strong impact on business performance. It can help lower the cost of business processes. Now, service model or service quality models can actually help you reduce your cost of business processes. It can help you increasing the profitability. So if your costs are low, means which we have seen in the earlier slides, if you can reduce your cost, probably you thereby increase your profits. It helps gaining customer satisfaction and loyalty. The focus today is shifting from maximizing profit to maximizing profit through customer satisfaction. It is not only that you need to focus on only maximizing profit, but maximizing profit through customer satisfaction is the most important parameter. And pressure of competition is obviously there, and that is obviously there. It is going to continue. There can be more number of competition jumping into the system if your business models are good and they are profitable. So more and more competition and more pressure. So there is a need for quality.